if I made cookies for my kids, they had to have a redeeming value, peanut butter, oatmeal, mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. I started gaining weight, and I couldn't seem to get it off. And so I would go a little bit lower fat and higher grains, and just like they told us to do. Over time, I ended up with high blood pressure, started getting a lot of arthritis. I became diabetic, type 2 diabetic. When I found out I was diabetic, once again, I still, you know, I've always been nutrition minded. I just didn't listen to the right people. Mm-hmm. I went to a dietitian that specialized in diabetes. She wanted me to eat 45 grams of carbs with each meal. And pretty much according to her, a carb was a carb is a carb. Mm-hmm. So it could be sugar, it could be wheat, it could be fruits, vegetables, anything, as long as it was a carb. And then, of course, there was the three snacks that were 15 grams each. And I would go for my A1C, and it'd be higher.
That's a three-month blood sugar average, your
yes.
A1C. Yeah.
Yes.
It'd be higher.
It would be higher. And I'd argue with her, and I go, I can't eat this much, this many carbs, and be okay. Mm-hmm. And she'd say, no, this is what you need to be eating, because if you get too low, it's going to hurt you. And mm-hmm. I kept gaining weight. I kept getting sicker. And friends of ours started coming to see Dr. Ben, and he had a type 2 diabetes, and he lost a lot of weight, and he got off of his medicines within a couple of months. And I thought about it and debated and finally decided I needed to try. Mm-hmm. At that point, I weighed 175 pounds, and I came to the clinic, to Veritas, and I went July 10th, 2014.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the chart says. Uh-huh. You remember that day.
I remember that day. And I talked to Jolena, and she was telling me what I would need to do and how I could get healthier.
And Jolena's one of our PAs at the mm-hmm. clinic.
I knew my body well enough to know that if I ate the way I was told to eat, which I knew I was going to do that I couldn't take metformin because it would knock my blood sugar too low. Mm-hmm. That was the last day I had a metformin.
Wow. So eating the way Jolena recommended to eat, you just knew your blood sugar was going to drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
You just need someone official with initials behind their name to give you the go-ahead.
I think so.
To eat the way that you knew.
To tell me that I needed to do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that I knew it was life and death. Mm-hmm. I knew that. I have a theory that so many people are getting diabetes. Unless this individual knows somebody that suffered. Mm-hmm. And died.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like it's that big a deal.
Right. Yeah, it's just a little high blood sugar. No big deal. Take a pill. Keep living the way you're living, and we can manage this chronic disease.
Exactly.
But what they don't realize is when you have a diabetes as a diagnosis, you increase your risk of just about everything: Alzheimer's, cancer, heart attack, stroke, all this suffering stuff. But that's down the road. We don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I'm with you. If they don't know someone personally who has suffered amputations and dialysis and blindness and all these things, then they just don't take it serious enough.
Yeah. I didn't. I didn't really think it was that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I also knew that I didn't want to do this, and I knew food could help.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know I've heard people say, I want to eat everything I want to eat. You know, I love bread too much. I want to eat it, so I'll just take medicine, and my doctor will take care of me. Mm-hmm. And I started this. We even went on vacation the day after I went in. On the 11th, we went to Dallas, but it was with these same friends. And of course, I didn't really know what I was doing at the time, so I love coffee, and I talked to Jolena, and she said if that's a deal breaker, you know, have heavy cream, mm-hmm. not half and half like mm-hmm. I was. And, mm-hmm. So I went. There was a restaurant, Starbucks, at the hotel, and I went to the Starbucks and I said, "Do you have heavy cream?" And they said, "No." I said, "If I buy some, will you use it to make a latte for me?" And they said, "Yes." Well, we didn't go for a couple of days to a store for me to get it, and I was going crazy. You know, I didn't really know how to do this. I remember going to Cracker Barrel, and I thought, I don't know what to order. So I just ordered bacon and eggs. I just didn't know what to order. And I asked them if they had heavy cream, and they said no, they had half and half. And I said, okay, give me some tea. You know, so, you know, I was that determined that I could go on vacation and stay on. Mm-hmm. Mitch at the time was not really interested. And so he started watching me, and I'd make two meals. I made really good meals. He'd come in, and he'd say, "That really smells good." Mm-hmm. And I'd still make him another meal. Yeah. I would be at work, and, of course, that's always hard mm-hmm. because people bring in donuts and stuff. It really didn't take me very long before they weren't that appealing to me.
Yeah.
And I kept going, and my receptionist started calling me Shrinking Deb. Mm. I would walk by, and he'd say, "Deb, you're just getting smaller." And I'll let him tell his story, but after several months, he said, "Uncle, you know, will you make me an appointment?" And I said, "No. Here's their phone number."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be ready.
Uh-huh.
Take the initiative.
Yeah, I'm an attentive husband. I just do what I'm told.
But tell the viewers, I mean, you mentioned the heavy cream, but what were those first dietary things that you did that Jolena said to do that resulted in Shrinking Deb? What did you cut out and what did you add in?
Okay. What I added in, I'm going to start with the good part first. What I added in was real butter, and I get Kerrygold or grass-fed butter.
Yep. Now, this is after years of eating low-fat.
Yes.
So now we're talking yes. heavy cream, real butter. Okay, go mm-hmm. ahead.
It tastes like butter, I think, mm-hmm. whatever
that
is.
It's
I can't
not
believe it's not butter. That is not butter.
Yeah, it's not.
If it's a stick, that doesn't mean that it's butter. Mm-hmm. That might be margarine, and we do not have margarine. I added on fatty meats. Mm-hmm. I could have chicken with
the skin
with the skin on it.
Yeah. Eggs with the yolk in it.
Yes, absolutely. Somebody told me, and I don't remember now who it was, but that God didn't make corn oil, vegetable oil. They don't have oils in them. How did they get oil in it?
Mm-hmm.
God didn't make that. God made butter, cream. Made bacon,
mm-hmm.
lard,
tallow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to clarify these fats that Deb just listed off. Those are the fats that our ancestors used, generations have used. You know, before this chronic disease epidemic we're currently in, I might mention too. These processed oils, the soy and corn and canola and all these things. I mean, they are getting them from a rape seed is what canola oil comes from. But these are processed by man. So that's why I always say God food versus man food. Has man altered it, changed it, done something to it to a point that, you know, is beneficial to our cells, to our health still? And the problem with all those fats is no. When you alter them and adulterate them and they go rancid, they're omega-6 dominant, which is pro-inflammatory. There's all these issues with them, mm-hmm. Which is why we don't recommend them. There's pro-inflammatory fats And then there's the good anti-inflammatory fats that support your cellular health. Mm-hmm. So that's the distinction there, is Deb started eating fats that actually that her cells actually want and use and are healthy. There's seven cell membranes that oxygen has to travel through from the lung down to the mitochondria, and those cell membranes are made of fats. Certain fats repel oxygen, certain fats attract oxygen, and what Deb just listed there, all the fats to not eat are the fats that repel oxygen, makes it harder to oxygenate the cell. Where all the good fats you just listed, the butter and the tallow and all that, that those fats attract oxygen. So oxygen can easily flow from the lung down to the mitochondria, which is your energy factory of the cell, to make energy for your body to work right. So little sidebar there. But
oh, that's neat.
So you start eating the fats that our ancestors ate, and
yes,
you let go of these quote-unquote heart-healthy, man-made, adulterated, modern fats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't eat wheat. In fact, I don't eat really grains hardly at all.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to eat any.
Meaning
and
corn, wheat, and rice,
yes,
the three main,
yes,
grains. Okay.
And I don't eat sugar. We got rid of all the sugar. The only time I use sugar at all is in kombucha, when I make kombucha.
Mm-hmm.
And I get organic sugar for the SCOBY, the symbiotic culture,
yeah,
of
the good bugs that,
yes,
are growing.
The good
so
bugs.
Kombucha's
they need the sugar.
Fermented tea, basically, mm-hmm, and the good bugs that are fermenting, what they're fermenting is sugar. So you do have to, mm-hmm, add it into the recipe, and then those bugs just eat up that sugar and makes a very beneficial drink for,
yeah,
us. Good.
So
you cut out grains, cut out sugars, added in healthy fats, got rid of the bad fats.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We don't have potatoes, corn, the starchy vegetables. We try to eat more of the green vegetables, spinach. And
right. How hard at first was that for you, making that transition off sugar, off the grains, a standard American diet? I mean, definitely any packaged food. So I'm assuming it was a shock to the system. Yeah, it was an addiction you were breaking.
I had gone to a meeting, actually, at Veritas before I ever came in. It was a couple of weeks before. And I remember some of the people in there asking questions like, how much fat can you have at a meal?
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked that it could be more than like a half a teaspoon. But but I'd already started trying to do some of what I thought,
mm-hmm,
this would be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I gradually got into it. So at that point in time, when I came in on July 10th, I was determined, and I really didn't have any problem.
Okay.
I was just determined.
Your mindset was right.
That light switch in my brain had gone on, and I wanted this really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I have since then, as I've, like, the last year, there's been a lot of stress in my life, and I kind of slid back,
mm-hmm,
I have to admit. I gained about 25 pounds, probably, and started not feeling as well again.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've been back on, and I've lost 10 of those.
Right.
Of those. And I know I feel so much better. I have so much more energy. People,
mm-hmm,
would say, would you please stop swaying or pacing, because it's making me nervous, because I have so much energy.
Right.
And but this time when I went on, I think I have had some, I think it's called keto flu, you know, mm-hmm, I just didn't feel good for a few days.
Right.
And I'm feeling better, and yeah, you know.
Well, initially, I think you said you're 175, July, mm-hmm, 14 when you came in, mm-hmm, shrinking Deb. How much weight did you initially lose? And then talk about your hypertension, diabetes, arthritis.
Okay.
What happened with those?
I got down to 128.
Over what period of time?
Probably between 5 and 6 months.
Okay.
It didn't take real long.
And without, you know, trying to burn more calories out than you put in, or any of that old mindset.
In fact,
you weren't trying anything. You were just
I was just eating.
Different food.
Yeah.
Beneficial,
yeah,
food.
I wasn't going to the gym.
Yeah.
I go to the gym now, but it's for different reasons. It's,
yeah,
not to lose weight.
Right.
My blood pressure has gone down. I was taking 9 medicines when I started. Between, I think there were 3 blood pressure I take one now, and it's not near as much. It's a very low dose now. I was taking metformin. I was taking cholesterol medicine, and I quit that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking for arthritis. I don't need that anymore. My A1C got down to 5.5.
Wow.
Which
that's a 3-month blood sugar average that we, in conventional medicine, if someone's diabetic and on meds, we would tell them, if you can get to about a 7.0 or a 6.5, it's awesome. That's really well controlled.
And that's what my doctor that I saw before would say at 7. You know, that's okay, you know, let's just try to get it to 6.5.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I looked at your A1C on that first visit in 14. It was right at 7.0 on your drugs, eating your low fat. So by conventional standards, you were, you know, managing this chronic disease pretty well. But by implementing some basic diet changes, you're able to get off the meds and your A1C dropped to 5.5, which is pretty much normal. I mean, we're pretty hardcore at our clinic. 5.3 is kind of what I like, but I think we'll let you slide at 5.5. But off of meds at a 5.5, so you can say you're not diabetic anymore, but, and that's a whole different discussion too, this label of a disease, or you're cured or you're not cured. It's, number one, it's not a disease. It's metabolic dysfunction in your cell, and it can always come back. Like you said, stress, things started coming back on you. When that stress is managed better, then things get better. But okay, so blood pressure down to one med, you're off your metformin, off your cholesterol, off your arthritis. So you were just cruising right along for a while, doing well.
I have a story to tell, too, about traditional medicine. I went, I ended up having something that happened with my eye, and they were afraid and put me in the hospital overnight. And, of course, of course, immediately said, well, we're going to put you on cholesterol medicine. And I said, no. And he said, why not? You know, look, it's... Your cholesterol is 190 or whatever, and I'm like, LDL, and I said, break it down. I want to know, you know, more numbers there.
Yeah,
and he didn't
tell me
know.
The particle size. Are they good, healthy, big, fluffy LDL, or small, dense, pro-inflammatory LDL?
Mm-hmm. And he didn't know what that meant. So they get me into the room, and they said, your doctor has ordered insulin, and I said, why would he do that? I don't need insulin. And I finally just said, okay, you'll have to take my blood sugar anyway. You're not going to give it to me. Then they bring me, about an hour later, they bring me a tray of food.
Let me guess, a diabetic tray.
A diabetic tray. It said 4 carbs on it. These, in the tray, it was salad with fat-free salad dressing, which, of course, they add sugar to it to make it taste better.
Right. You cannot eat fat-free stuff because it doesn't taste good. You got to add different artificial flavors and sweeteners. That's and the sweeteners is what gets us all fat.
Yeah.
It's so ironic, but sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. There was green beans with nothing on it, and they were really bad. Fried chicken with breading. Half the plate was pasta. There was a yeast roll and a cheesecake with strawberry syrup on top. And they literally just counted 1, 2, 3, 4. And I kind of threw a fit and yelled at them.
If you want to make someone a diabetic, eat that diabetic tray.
Yes, exactly.
That's so crazy.
So, you know, if I eat this, you're going to have to give me that insulin. I don't want that insulin. So I didn't eat any of it. And,
do you remember what beverage they serve by chance?
Fat-free milk.
Yeah, which is nothing left in milk that of benefit except the what turns into sugar.
Yeah. Then they brought me a snack, you know, in a bag, and it was fat-free milk, peanut butter, and
graham crackers. Yeah.
And I asked them to take it away. And I asked him to take it away, and she finally said, you're going to have to pay for it anyway. And I said, fine.
Oh, my word.
I'm not eating it.
Well, unfortunately, big institutions are hard to change a mindset, hard to get anything done. You know, so many committees and bureaucracies, but there's so many conflicts of interest and different powers that be that influence these guidelines that are set, you know, well beyond local hospital settings even. We're talking national guidelines and stuff like that. You know, it's like trying to turn around a huge warship, you know, in a millisecond. It's going to take years and years and years if ever we turn this thing around.
But I have more and more friends, more and more people on Facebook or Instagram or, you know, all of these social medias that I'm hearing about eating a ketogenic diet. Mm. More and more and more. A lot more than it was 4 years ago.
Yeah. Explain to the listeners what, in case they don't know, we've talked ketogenic before, but there may be new listeners. What's ketogenic?
Ketogenic diet or ketogenic lifestyle would be eating that high fat, the good healthy fats, moderate protein, because you don't want to have a lot of protein. It can increase your carbs, and then very, very low carb. So I try to, if I'm doing it really well, I try to have like 80% fat in my diet, 15 protein, and 5% carbs. And when I'm doing that, I feel my best.
Yeah. Energy's good. Mm-hmm. I know your blood sugar and cholesterol is good. Mm-hmm. Your joints are good, all that.
Yes.
And what Deb was saying there, if you eat too much protein, because some people think low carb, they think back to Atkins, go high protein, just eat tons of protein. The problem there is you get over a certain level of protein, and it's different for everybody. Your body will actually turn that protein into sugar. It's called gluconeogenesis, but basically it's just going to make glucose or sugar out of that protein. So that's why we limit that some. Not near as much as we limit the carb, but the carb you want super low, like what you're describing. So that's when you feel good.
Mm-hmm. That's so when I feel good. I have a lot of energy. I have a better mood because all of this does affect the serotonin.
Mm-hmm.
Something else I do a lot is eat fermented foods. I've began to make my not only kombucha, the fermented tea, but sauerkraut, kefir. I make salsa and I ferment it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So fermented foods have a bunch of good bacteria. And our ancestors, you know, generations ago, before refrigeration especially, they used a lot of real salt to preserve things, but also fermentation would be implemented. So people have always eaten fermented foods up until recently. And it just introduces the good bacteria back into the gut, which we all need, because our culture and our standard American diet just decimates our gut flora. So that's awesome, fermented foods.
And you mentioned the salt. Being on a ketogenic diet, I've needed more salt. Mm-hmm. So my toes don't cramp and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I try to get either, it's called real salt or pink Himalayan salt.
Right. That's good. And it probably, your tray at home is the exact opposite of the tray at the hospital.
Yes.
I think we might need to take a break. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about this stress thing, because it's important. I mean, you're a real person living in the real world, and it's not like things are perfect all the time, and you're doing the best you can, but life happens, stress happens, and we don't have to know all the details of it, but mainly I want the listeners to know that you know, stress impacts this thing. And I tell people all the time, you're never going to diet yourself into total wellness, because there's other pillars involved, and peace and stress being a huge, huge impact on life. So we'll touch on that, but we also want to get Mitch in here too. So we want to hear Mitch's story when we come back from the break also. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. That's right. Of course, Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Special guests here on the program, Mitch and Debbie Mattson here on the show and telling their story. And it's very informative about how that just things in our life that we can change, it's really not that difficult, making some big differences in our overall health.
Yeah. Well, just reminds me, excuse me, Dr. Jason Fung, we interviewed one time. He's a medical doctor in Toronto, nephrologist, wrote a book called The Obesity Code. And in that book, he talks about how the American Diabetes Association's website says that type 2 diabetes is a chronic progressive disease. And then Dr. Fung turns around and says, no, it's not. He's in direct disagreement with the American Diabetes Association. And he calls it a reversible dietary disease. And then what he does with his patients is basically a ketogenic diet and then throw in some fasting here and there. And the insulin resistance goes away, which is the root cause of diabetes. And in the medicine we practice at Veritas, we try to get to the root cause of stuff. And when you get to the root cause, which is insulin resistance, the ketogenic diet and intermittent fasting really work on insulin resistance, then the blood sugar comes down. So it's really just a consequence. We call it a disease. We treat it as this chronic. It will be a chronic progressive disease if you just throw medicine at it, like metformin. Mm-hmm. Yes. You can kind of keep your blood sugar in the right range, quote unquote, but you still have diabetes. You still have got insulin resistance. You still got the effects of all that on the cell, and you're still going to be at risk for all those things down the road. So diet and lifestyle, that's the root cause of 95 to 99, maybe 100% of everything that we'd call disease. So that's what Deb's been describing. She's been changing her diet, but let's talk about your lifestyle, stress. How do you see that impacting your health, or give us maybe in your own life what you've seen?
I have the last couple of years with my employment stuff, there's been some ups and downs, mm-hmm. and so there's been some stress. I can tell a big difference. If I'm really, really stressed, my blood sugar goes up, even if I'm eating everything exactly like I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
I'm trying to learn to do some relaxation, some meditation, some there's a way to help with stress. It's called tapping, and I've been trying to learn about that more. But I can tell. I can just tell when I'm stressed about things, and I know that everything's going to be okay, but then I immediately turn around and go, but I really need to whatever, you know, mm-hmm. get a job. I need to be able to pay this off, whatever it is.
Right.
It really affects my life.
Yep. Yeah, stress is humongous. I tell people of the four pillars, you can do three perfect: nutrition, hydration, movement. But if you don't have that last one of peace down, then it can blow those other three out of the water. And then the opposite of that, if you can be totally at peace, I think it gives you even a little more leniency. The body can take a hit, dietarily or otherwise. I'm not saying just go eat standard American if you're at peace, but
yeah.
That peace is so huge that you can, I think, get away with a little more, or take more of a hit, I guess, is the way I'd say it. So that's important, I think, for everyone to realize. It's not about just a diet, which really it's a lifestyle anyways, not just diet. You just want to eat real food is what I tell people, number one. Just eat real food, nutrient-dense food, locally grown if you can get it, but then that ratio, high fat, moderate protein, low carb.
Yes.
And we don't have to be another show. There's lots of ways to manage stress, and you just named a bunch of them. In fact, I'm going to interview Dr. Bruce Lipton later today, and it'll be recorded, and we'll play it in a future date. And that's the topic of our conversation, is going to be the stress management versus something deeper than that, how we interpret our circumstances and interpret these different challenges that come into our life. But so listeners, be looking for that show later. But Mitch, let's talk some about you. Sorry, Deb just went on and on and on.
No, I'm
just
sorry.
Hogging the mic.
Hey, that's a wife.
Well, she came first to the clinic, and ladies first.
Absolutely.
So there we go. But Mitch, we want to hear your story too. So tell us where you were, how leading up to where you are now.
I at the time that I started this lifestyle, I weighed 380 pounds. I had a sleeve done, which is the narrowing of the stomach, and I lost 60 and gained 40 back because I wasn't informed on what I should be eating or the proper way that I should be eating.
And what did the surgeon tell you when you asked about how to eat afterwards?
He told me to get a dietitian, And
hopefully not the same one that Deb talked to.
No. I was there when she was going through that in the hospital, and it, you know, it's the standard American diet, which in my ideals is SAD, and that's just sad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not acceptable. This ketogenic lifestyle is just not acceptable in big institutions and anywhere, really. It's not hard to do.
Right.
You know, when I came on board, I watched Deb shrink for about 6 months, and I watched her cooking two meals, and I thought, this is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And I said, okay, I'm ready to get on board. And she immediately went to the pantry and took out everything that we were not going to be eating anymore and threw it away. And I have to admit, you know, for the first couple of weeks, it was mind-boggling. You know, it was like, give me something to eat. And I started seeing you and coming to the clinic, and I was put on the, you know, the very strict standard ketogenic diet. And I was, at first, I was going insane. I was like, I gotta eat.
Yeah.
And eventually, it kind of fell in place. I stopped growling. And that's part of it, you know. And I went through, like she said, I went through the keto flu, which is just adjusting to getting all the bad stuff out of your body.
Describe that for you. What was that? Achy or more moods or more in diarrhea or skin rash? It can be all sorts of stuff.
It was diarrhea. It was mood swings. It was, you know.
Deb shaking her head on that one.
I'm a grumpy bear. But it took very little time to get adjusted to it. And I have to give her credit. She is I call her the Martha Stewart of keto cooking.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing that she can't find a substitute recipe for.
Right.
We eat chicken fried steaks.
Mm-hmm.
We eat almost but it's not cooked the way it used to be.
Right.
We use, for breading, for the chicken fried steaks, we use ground up pork rinds.
Wow.
And she cooks it in whole organic lard, like grandma used to.
Right.
And it tastes really good.
I bet.
But when I started this, too, I was on 4,000 units of... I was type 2 diabetic, almost insulin dependent. I was on 4,000 units of metformin and another 1,000 units of glyburide to help the metformin work.
Mm-hmm.
And my blood sugar was sky high. Yeah. I mean, like 500, 600, 700.
Wow.
My A1Cs were... I don't remember.
I think it was 8-something.
Eight nines.
Yeah.
And that's that 3-month check.
Right.
Now, I take no metformin, no glyburide. I have had 3 heart attacks. I have 4 stents. And I had the worst kind of pulmonary embolus that you can come across, which is a saddle PE. It settled between both my lungs. I made it to the hospital, and the two doctors that took care of me, you know, I owe them my life.
Yeah.
They got rid of the clot, which was amazing. They said, you know, one little piece breaks off and goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't get you to prayer, nothing will.
Right.
And I've always been a religious person. But it got me to thinking that this lifestyle that she was leading and her losing all this weight, so, you know, and it was very noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, why not, you know?
Yeah.
So we went through this, and it's easy. It really is simple and easy. It's not at first.
Right.
But once you get accustomed to this, we go to a lot of social events, and she brings ketogenic meals, she brings ketogenic desserts
mm-hmm.
that are made usually with coconut flour or almond flour, and no sugar. It's either stevia, xylitol,
or erythritol.
Erythritol, that's it. Mm-hmm. Which can be good and bad both.
Right.
And people start eating this stuff, and they're going, oh, my God, this tastes wonderful.
Yeah.
I said, I told you, we don't suffer. We right. don't suffer. You know, every morning I get up, I have coffee. I put butter in it to get more fats because I don't get a lot of fat
mm-hmm.
in my diet anymore. So there's butter in my coffee. I put stevia in there for sweetener and heavy cream.
Mm-hmm.
And we drink another product, and I know we've talked to you about that.
Right.
It's called Keto OS.
Yeah.
And it's a ketogenic drink. You mix it with water and 8 ounces of water, and you drink it, and it within an hour it puts you into ketosis.
Mm-hmm.
What level of ketosis you can check using keto strips
right
on your urine. And it's a wonderful product. I rarely eat lunch because I'm got that satiated feeling.
Yeah, that's, we haven't talked about that. When you eat healthy fats,
yeah,
fats is what makes you feel full and satisfied, and so you're not hungry in 2 hours after your bagel breakfast and looking for a snack at the office.
Yeah, well, and she makes something called a fat bomb.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's in that, dear?
It's coconut oil with, it's called peppermint, the peppermint patty,
mm-hmm.
fat bomb.
Yeah.
So there's cocoa in it, and there's a little stevia in it, and some peppermint oil or peppermint extract.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
She puts them into these small, like, these little mini muffin pans.
Yeah.
The silicone type,
mm-hmm.
and mixes them up, sticks them in the fridge. They harden, and we keep them in a jar in the fridge. So if I need a snack or we need a snack and a little pump up, you know, mm-hmm. in the energy level,
mm-hmm.
you know, I down a couple of those and I'm off and running.
Yeah.
I have lost in the weight category. Like I said, I started out at 380 and I made it down to about 218. And I did that within...
It's about a year.
Yeah, about a year.
Wow.
And
how much, is going back to the first part of the story, you had the sleeve, the surgery.
Yeah.
You said you lost...
I lost 60 pounds.
60 and gained 40
gained
of that
40 back.
And then what was the time period between that surgery and when you started more of this diet change?
It was probably about 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had kind of the ultimate conventional medicine answer for obesity. I mean, 380 pounds, I don't know the cutoff for morbid obesity, but you were definitely big.
Oh, yeah.
And so it qualified you for the surgery. You had the surgery, lost 60, gained 40 back, get down the road a couple years, and you see shrink and deb, so you implement it. And I didn't do the math on that, but you've lost 150 pounds, roughly?
Around 180.
180 pounds,
yeah.
Wow, with eating this way.
It's amazing.
That'd be a lot of bariatric surgeons out of business if they were preaching this in their pre-op classes and required you 6 months of living this way before surgery. Mm-hmm. I would say nobody would require surgery.
Not to mention the pain, and then, you know, it can work for people who are not quite as big as I was.
Right.
But this is so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just eat. And that's it. I mean, it's healthy. It's God's food as God intended it to be.
Right.
We, you know, no corn and no wheat because it's not...
It's been altered by man.
Right.
That's the best way I can put it.
It's no longer a grain. It's a genetically modified organism. Mm-hmm. So it's not a grain anymore.
Right.
You can get, what do they call them, heritage grains?
Yes. Yep.
And you can still get those, but they're extremely expensive.
Yeah. They're more pricey, and we tend to fall back into our old habits of eating those all the time.
Yeah.
And there's some patients I have, they can handle some grain here and there, but it's not 3 servings of grain at breakfast, 2 more servings at lunch, or snack and lunch, and afternoon snack, and supper, and midnight. That standard American grain consumption is out of this world. I mean, if you think about, you know, back in Jesus' day, it took a lot to grow this stuff, number one. It wasn't drought and wind resistance. The yields weren't that great. And then you had to, you know, harvest it by hand. Then you had to thresh it and do all the different things just to get one little cup of flour. So, you know, maybe you'd eat that once a month, maybe.
So a text coming in wanting to know, where do you get the drink?
the keto?
I'm
assuming is what they're talking about.
It's called ketoetosis. Keto OS. You can buy it online and it's at Pruvit, PRUVITT.com. Deb's a distributor. It comes in several flavors. It comes in something. My favorite happens to be orange dreamsicle. It comes in chocolate. It also comes in a fruit punch flavor.
Like 15 different kinds now.
Lots of flavors. What would you tell I'm not saying this caller is in this category, but a lot of times people that have been trying to lose weight for a long time and they've done Weight Watchers and this and that and all these gimmicky things, and they hear something like this product. If someone wants to rely on this product and not so much on the diet change,
no.
What say you?
I say no.
Okay.
You'll just gain weight.
Yeah. You can lose weight just by drinking it, but very little. It's I don't know how to quite put it other than it gives you energy beyond belief. It's good for a lot of different things.
But it's designed to be used with
ketogenic
lifestyle. Diet. Yeah. Yes. It complements it perfectly.
Yes. It's not a weight loss product at all,
right.
in a sense. I've been drinking it, 2 years?
Something like that.
I have at least one a day. And, and it helps energize me. It helps, it's kind of like having a fat bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm away from home somewhere, out doing something, I usually keep a couple of packets in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Could I have her website to purchase the drink?
The website. Okay.
They're asking if you have a website,
Deb. How can I get a hold of her?
How can they get a hold of
her? Oh, okay.
or we could do it off air if you don't want to give it on air.
Yes.
I don't know if you have a website.
Yeah. Or she can text me.
Okay. If we could get your information, I'd be happy to
I've
give you
I've got it right here, I think. Yeah, I think I have it here. We can text it.
Okay. I will be happy to do that. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
So, Mitch, obviously the weight loss was huge, 180 pounds. Anything else medically? I mean, your insulin, your blood sugar and all that?
I consider myself to be diabetic, to be diabetes-free. It's still my A1Cs are coming in at 5.1, 5.2. I haven't had one in a while with going through the clinic, but I had to go to another physician for another reason, and they did my blood work, and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Besides diabetes, I don't remember from your history if you had other things, arthritis and stuff like that.
I was wanting to say he talked about his heart a little bit, but he was averaging using nitro 2 or 3 times a day, daily.
Nitroglycerin for chest pain.
Yes.
When was the last time you used one?
Years.
Well, it's probably almost a year ago.
You were a sick puppy, Mitch.
I was.
I guess I forgot how sick you were.
I was, I had one foot in the hole and the other on the banana peel. And
yeah.
I mean, I was taking all kinds of heart medicines. I'm off everything, in substitute for that, we are taking all the supplements that you recommended.
Right.
We do. I do a couple of fish oils in the morning, Adrenaplex, Selenium, the B and D products,
VIT,
and
A-R-U-V-I-T.
It's amazing. The only actual prescription that I take is a half of a blood pressure pill, and of course I take a half of a Plavix because I've got those stents, and that's never going to go away.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you're a testimony to someone who's super sick, and maybe they think, well, I'm too sick or I'm too far gone. I can't, this isn't for me. I mean, obviously, but based on your testimony, it can have dramatic impacts, even for someone with one foot in the grave, as you said.
I was. I knew I was ready. I was headed for the big box.
Yeah.
But, and the food that I eat, I mean, who doesn't love bacon? I mean,
Brian, bacon makes everything better.
Bacon wrapped bacon is great by my, just give me all the bacon you can find. But we eat fatty meats. We eat chicken with the skin on. We occasionally have sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
We eat lots of vegetables. You know, we drink tea, especially her kombucha, her fermented tea,
yeah,
is great.
Yeah.
Everything else that we do, you know, we do with lots of love and lots of God's care.
Yeah.
And we're good.
Right. One thing that's coming out in this conversation is it sounds like y'all had to really dial back your lifestyle as far as time commitment on preparing food. I mean, maybe y'all were making a lot of homemade food before, but so many people, it's grab and go, convenient stuff, or even middle of the aisle, packaged stuff at the grocery store. And when you start really trying to use food for medicine, as Hippocrates said, let thy food be thy medicine, you have to spend more time, especially initially when you're changing those habits and changing those recipes. But just buying real food that doesn't have a food label, preparing it yourself and consuming it, not just running to a fast, convenient thing. Yeah. So that's another thing people have to remember, is we have to shift our daily schedule a little bit to make time for preparation of food.
Well, but, I'm sorry.
Yeah, people are always talking about, you know, my theory is if it's in a box, it's not.
Right.
And, you know, it's time to spend with family.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's a way to slow your life down, and it, which helps that peace pillar some when you can say no to some stuff. Deb, we got just a couple minutes. So.
Okay. One thing I was going to say real quick is that as we got into this, we're not as hungry.
Yeah.
And this eating 5-6 meals a day,
right,
is not good for us.
Yep.
So we... there's a lot of days that we have one really good meal a day.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point.
And I've been trying to fast a couple of days a week, yep, lately. And
yeah, so that's a great point. When you eat high fat, you're more satisfied and you can go all day. You can buzz right through lunch sometimes and realize, oh, I didn't eat lunch.
Yes.
And then you throw the fasting in on purpose with that, where you do some intermittent fasting. And yeah, the time frame, didn't think about that. You could actually even increase the,
yes,
the time in your day for other things.
So. And the other thing, too, is hydration, like you said,
right,
you know,
yeah,
one of the pillars. You know, my hydration before was like drink a gallon of milk a day.
Right.
And I'm not joking. It,
yeah,
was a gallon a day.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, water is fine.
Water, tea, coffee.
There's
absolutely
no milk in our house.
Yeah.
No.
Well, same here. I was at least big glass a day milk drinker my whole life. And I don't know the last time. When we do get some, it'll be raw milk from Abernathy.
Yeah.
Full of good fat.
Oh, yeah.
Not homogenized. Broken all that fat up, so... Okay, well, great. This has been really, really good. I think it's probably encouraged the listeners a lot to hear from real-world West Texas folk that this can be done. And even when you're real sick, there's always hope.
Oh, there's always hope.
Always hope for health if you just give the body what it needs and avoid what it doesn't. So
exactly.
Really appreciate y'all's testimony.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. We'll have to have y'all back someday. All right, Wade.
Yeah, appreciate that, Dr. Edwards. Of course, we'll see you back here next Monday on You're the Cure. Of course, thanks for the folks being with us on the show today. Have a wonderful rest of the week. I'll see you back here next Monday.
Okay.
Stick around. Thanks, Unconfused, Wade. Coming up next.